Please be seated. So I just want to begin by saying Happy Father's Day to all fathers who are here. I hope that something special happens for you today, or you get a phone call, or you just get to hang out, enjoy the fact that some people are thinking about you. I had my son call me from New York yesterday, and as he will do, shared the craziest meme he could think of. You know, typical father-son relational stuff. It was great. So this morning, I want to start this way. It might sound a little odd, but just quoting Jesus, "I still have many things to say, but you can't bear them now." As part of the gospel reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity, the feast in which we celebrate the Christian revelation as God, God as Father, Son, Spirit, one God, the undivided God, as we say, in three persons, you might, being a clever bunch, just detect a bit of a whiff of irony in that opening line. You might also be forgiven for thinking, so if Jesus didn't touch this, why do you think you might have something to say? Fair question. But preachers are adept at avoiding questions by telling stories. So here's one. Once upon a time, and it really is that now, many decades ago, I fell in love with my partner. I mean, at the time, I was in love with her, but I didn't have the foggiest about whether she was in love with me. Though I had a kind of desperate hope that this might be so, I didn't see myself as worthy of her love. And interestingly, as I've gotten to know men over the years, I find that a lot of men feel that way. My friends could see that she was interested in me, but I was blind to it. So I started hanging around, talking to her. I thought I was initiating. But she was the one, I discovered later, who was calling to me, using her far superior relational wisdom to draw me in. The wisest thing I've ever done in my life is to respond to her wisdom. I was thinking about my initial cluelessness as I was preparing for our last session looking at the examine prayer this past week, which is about developing an awareness of God's continual initiative towards us in the midst of our daily lives. During the course of that study, I've mentioned several times the concept of Charles Taylor, the great Canadian philosopher who says in his book, A Secular Age, that those of us who have grown up in the West find that we are more and more self-enclosed, self-absorbed. We have become, Taylor says, buffered selves. We move through the world, falling in love, if you will, with creation's beauty, maybe the sheer wonder of our existence. We pursue different things and interests, human and otherwise, over the course of our life. But what is different, say, than 1,000 years ago, is that we don't easily sense a reciprocal call, a mirroring, or even an initiating love arising from creation itself, from God within the world. We are buffered selves, not, as Taylor says over and over again in his book, as porous as we once were. If we ask why this has happened, it's not, according to Taylor, as simple as saying that since the rise of science, We live in a less enchanted world that has made belief in God intellectually dubious. There is plenty of evidence that some people, at least, struggled to believe in God in the past, in the ancient world. And there's plenty of evidence that a large majority of modern people still believe in God. So how this happened, that we became more buffered selves, if you will, is the complex argument of Taylor's thesis. But suffice to say that we don't so much expect a relationship with creation anymore. We expect to live upon it, utilizing its resources, and we expect to be protected from it when necessary. That is part of the definition of being a modern person living with modern technology and amenities. At the same time, this was developing as a way of looking at creation, and maybe as a precursor, we came to fear a God who seemed more interested in protecting his holiness and damning the unholy to hell than in truly helping us. Somehow, it came to seem that the God of Christian faith didn't much like what he had created. And it's important to use the male pronoun for that God. Many of our children's children imagine God this way. I've had conversations with my young men and their friends, and this comes up. And certainly all of us live in an environment where this has been part of the narrative, part of the story. But here's the amazing thing. There are friends. There are voices in our lives, in the lives of everyone, that startle us by saying, actually, she's very much in love with you. In the midst of whatever society we inhabit, whether ancient or modern, wisdom raises her voice and calls, not the obvious call of those who seek power and control, not the voice of a church that seeks to police the flock. The beautiful text from Proverbs tells that a voice calls to us, not only from the heights, but all along the way, from creation herself and throughout all our lives. She's at the crossroads, the poet says, when we're making decisions, when we stop long enough to recognize, become aware of something important. This wisdom is interwoven through and rejoices with all of the processes of earth coming to be, from the springs of water to the first bits of soil. I love that phrase. I hadn't seen it in Proverbs 8 before this week. Because we can feel our fingers sifting that soil as we plant a seed, as we grasp that juicy strawberry, and the smell goes all over those same fingers, staining them. I love how the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version replaces the word rejoices, which we often just use in scriptural or religious context. I mean, I don't walk around saying the word rejoice to people in my daily life, so it kind of means nothing. It replaces it with the word playing. Then wisdom was before God like a little child, playing before God always, and playing in God's inhabited world and delighting. in the human race. This is the truth of it. Delighting in the human race. Not damning it. Not shaming us. Not avoiding us. Delighting in us. Anytime we sense love, feel love, God is also loving, feeling what we feel. God's grand adventure is that of wooing what God has made. The love itself so interwoven into all that God has made that it takes on a life of her own, Lady Wisdom. God's grand adventure is to love so sacrificially, so all in, that God becomes what they have made, Christ. We call this one God the Trinity, not because we like math paradoxes. I mean, maybe there's a few of you out there with math degrees and engineering degrees, you like math paradoxes. But because it's the short, that's not a damning statement, by the way, that's it's an inclusive statement. We talk about God the Trinity because it's the shorthand for this love story. This love that is so brimming with play and delight that where its wisdom ends and human wisdom begins is difficult to say. It's actually in the text in Proverbs. It's hard to get the referent of who's speaking when. It spills over even the almost eternal processes at play in the formation of the cosmos to form a relationship with specks of cosmic dust who, even in their minuteness, are capable of recognizing and mirroring this playful, loving wisdom. Or as Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, they will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Church gets to tell the story, not the story of a vengeful God, but the story of how our love finds that another love has been enthralled with us, has been chasing us from the beginning. Now, this is news that is difficult to bear. I can see how we lower our gaze, how we can't imagine such a thing. It's difficult to bear, not because of its mathematical pyrotechnics, but because of its aching beauty. This beauty, this wisdom, this love gently calls us from the violence of control, with the need to walk on creation and the other creatures. Rather, they call us to walk with, to open our daily experience to their voice. And when we open to them, probably the best pronoun for God, for creation as well, so take it as inclusive, in all of their multiplicity and diversity, then we find ourselves less buffered, more porous to wisdom, wherever that comes to us, however it comes, to the wisdom of their ways, and so become enchanted with the dust that we are. Amen.